Now, nanotechnology promises to make smelly socks a thing of the past, and we've already heard today how it could revolutionise medicine and the drugs industry. But what are the environmental dangers of these tiny particles? A joint research project between the UK and the United States has been set up to analyse the potential risks of nanomaterials. One of the studies is being led by Teresa Fernandez at Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh. Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham went to visit her in her lab.
We have here a range of projects looking at hazards. So we keep some organisms, very, very small organisms. We keep some primary producers, some algae, microalgae, single-cell organisms. And we keep the water flea, for example, and some worms, some aquatic worms.
Can we have a look at some there?
Sure.
And to, well, these look like just large freezers, really? Freezers, fridge freezers.
You could nearly walk into these ones.
So you've got these beakers, a couple of litres sort of beakers, with slightly greenish water and these little water fleas skimming around. And then in there you've also put some nanoparticles, nanomaterials, to see what happens.
If they indicate that there are reasons to be concerned, for example, there's mortality or reduced reproduction or other endpoints we are looking at, then there's a concern. And if this effects happen at low concentration, there's a concern that there might be, you know, a reason to prevent or I don't know, have controls in use of these chemicals.
Now, Teresa, while you're looking at the environmental impact of these nanomaterials, I'm also with Helena Johnston, and you're looking at the impact on human health.
So in order to do that, we can either look at the effects on cells cultured in vitro, or we can look at the effects within animals in vivo.
So when you say in vitro, you mean in the test tube?
Yes, yeah, so in a cultured condition than a test tube. So what we generally do is we take cells isolated from different parts of the body. So you might get exposed via inhalation, so the lung would be a target, via ingestion, so we have the gut as a route of exposure, via the skin. Once the nanoparticle exposed to these different exposure sites, they can access the blood because of their small size and then travel throughout the body. So the liver is a primary target. We also look at the kidneys, the cardiovascular system, the kind of list is endless.
Teresa has chambers full of water fleas and the like. Mm-hmm. You have some human cells.
Yep, so the cells need to be cultured at 37 degrees Celsius because that's what you would
have. Body temperature.
Yep, exactly, yep. Body temperature. They need a supply of carbon dioxide and oxygen, and they need a medium which gives them all the nutrients they need to grow in these sort of artificial conditions.
So we've got a variety open the cabinet
of
up.
Cell types in here. So for example, this is an epithelial cell, so it's found within the lining of the lung. So these,
it just looks like a clear liquid, yeah, or a slightly opaque liquid.
So if you look
liquid
at the back of the dish, you can see the cells growing.
Oh, okay,
so all
yes,
these little kind of islands, if you like, are the cells.
So they're
attaching.
The same cells that we'd have in our lungs?
Yes. So these have been isolated, I think, from a tumour. So these cells will grow indefinitely in culture. If you take them from a human, they'll only divide a certain number of times, and it limits the amount of times you can use these cells.
You've got some darker ones in here as well.
So these are macrophage cells. So an immune cell within the body, so they're responsible for clearing foreign materials. Again, you can see them growing on the back of the dish, and whereas these epithelial cells will all grow together, these ones are isolated.
And when you're looking at these, again, you're looking for the impact of nanomaterials on them.
Types of toxicity tests we do will administer the nanoparticles and see if the cells die, so they have a cytotoxic effect. Do they elicit an inflammation, oxidative stress? So these are all common mechanisms that we know nanoparticles can act, and it allows us to compare the toxicity of different types of nanoparticles and see if they elicit a similar toxicity or some are more potent than others.
And Teresa, doesn't this come to the nub of this? That these things are already out there. Shouldn't maybe this work have been done 10 years ago when these kinds of products were being developed?
Industry can develop very fast, and the research and evidence needs to take its time, because you don't want necessarily to prevent an area of industry that has great promise for society. So it's a question of getting the pace right, you know, speed up the research, speed up the ability to translate results from research into the regulatory process.
Teresa Fernandez and Helena Johnston from Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh, talking to Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham. You can find more Planet Earth material on our website at thenakedscientist.com/planet earth.